Well, hey, welcome to Online Church today. It is great to be together. The whole church family is together online, and it's really cool to think that, you know, all over our city, really all over the world, people are tuning in today, and so it's great that we can be together. Hey, I want to encourage you, feel free to interact, too. Whatever platform you're watching this on, put a comment down in the comment field, share it with people, like it. Also, if there's anything that we can do for you, there's a place where you can actually text a prayer request to us. And so if there's anything that we can pray for you, we've got a great prayer team. Or maybe you just want to make a decision, maybe some new decision that you want to make at the start of the year. There's a number that you could text and we'd love to be in touch with you. Also encourage you to give today. And you can do that by texting this number to give or also giving online at fbclodi.org. I mentioned last week, it's just amazing how faithful people have been in giving this last year. And it's really allowed 2020 in a way for the ministry of First Baptist to not only reach farther than ever before because of this online platform, but we've actually been able to give away and touch more lives maybe than ever before. And so that is a really cool thing. So next week, we will be back together in person with an in-person option. We are meeting at 11 a.m. on the Welcome Terrace. If you've not been a part of that service, it's a really great time together. And so if you are comfortable and feeling well, we encourage you to come on out for that beginning next week. We're also next week beginning kind of our 2021 theme, and the whole theme for the year is We Believe. And we're going to talk about not only some of kind of the core Christian truths and what it means to have a biblical worldview, but also what does it mean to be people of faith that actually believe what we say and act on that. So we're looking forward to starting that next week. We also have kind of a cool new format for our online service. And so both online and in person next week, we hope that you will be a part of it. Also, just a reminder, children's and youth ministries that have been kind of off for this Christmas time are going to be kicking back off this week. Encourage you to get plugged into those. One ministry that we have going here is our Distance Learning Center, where we are partnering with some students from Woodbridge Elementary School that maybe don't have the structure and the resources in their home to really thrive in the distance learning environment. And so we're providing that right here on campus. And if you are interested in volunteering with some of these kids, they're just some great kids, we would love your help. You can actually go to 180lodi.org to fill out the little volunteer form, and we would love to have you working with these kids for as long as is required and is needed. And then one other announcement, we have a new class that's beginning here in this next week or so called Intersection of Faith and Science. That's going to be an online class beginning December 12th. John Taraskas does a great job looking into some of the science and how it points to the evidence of God's creation. So I really encourage you to take a look at that class, and you sign up online for that. The website is faithandscienceintersect.org, and I encourage you to just go to that website. They put together a beautiful website, and whether you're signing up for the class or not, just tons of great information on that website, so we encourage you to take a look at that. Well, today, as you can see, we are going to be taking communion together. And so I hope that you and whoever you are with right now has a chance to grab some bread and something for a communion. And we are going to look forward to the year ahead with optimism. But really kind of the theme of the day and kind of the title of this morning's message is 2020 hindsight. And so we want to kind of pull back a little bit, look at the things that we've been through this last year, especially asking what can we learn as we move forward to 2021. You know, it was kind of interesting. In preparation for today, I actually went back and looked at my New Year's sermon from 2020. And I looked at the first couple messages, and the first message was on the 2020 vision. And we've just come through kind of 5 years of this 2020 vision, and God had done so many amazing things. And so we talked about what it means to grow deeper into Christ and in His Word, and to go further into this community, further into the world, and just the amazing things that have happened in and through this church in the last 5 years. And the end of the message especially was just full of optimism, and we could do it, and God's got greater things for us. this year than ever before. And then the next week after that, we started our We the Church series, which is what we talked about all year long. And right away we said, which is really good that we talked about that, is that the church is not a building that you go to. The church is not a worship service that you attend. The church is the people of God. And we talked about that Christ calls us to be an unstoppable movement of God's people, not just for ourselves, but God's people for the world. We talked about the fact that we are the body of Christ, the family of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And again, as I got to the end of those messages that I looked at, they were just full of optimism and all the things, that amazing things that were going to happen in 2020. And we were fired up and we were off and rolling. And then around the end of February, we began to hear about this strange virus. And at first, I remember hearing about it in Wuhan, China, which was a place that I was not familiar with, but it was spreading around the world. But I remember thinking, boy, that sounds terrible, but it was something that was over there. It was something that wouldn't really, you know, have an impact on us. And then the night that I remember it kind of becoming very real to me was actually the night that the NBA canceled all their games. Yeah. And really eventually canceled a lot of their season. I remember thinking, wow, maybe this is a bigger deal than we knew. And around that time, our county health leaders were talking about things that we needed to put in place. And I still remember it was a very stressful day talking to some of the medical people, doctors and nurses right here in our congregation, and talking with the elders. And I remember making the decision, I believe it was on a Thursday, that we were going to cancel in-person church for the week, maybe two, so that we could be as safe as possible and that we would definitely be back by Easter. Well, that was 9 months ago, and that was really just the beginning. In fact, I read, a Christian author wrote this week. He said, this year, talking about 2020, we were battered by a record number of physical storms, 30 hurricanes, countless wildfires, floods, tornadoes, and heat waves. But it was the social storms of 2020 that kept people on edge. The COVID-19 infirmity, the financial insecurity, the social instability, racial inequity, political incivility. Being hit with all of those storms at the same time was overwhelming. But then she adds this, and yet none of what happened this year surprised God. You see, God is still good. God is still wise. God is still in control. Everything is a part of his good plan, and all serves his greater purpose. You see, his story, or history, is really his story. And so with that in mind, I want to launch into this morning's message on 2020 hindsight by just laying a couple kind of core foundations for today and for our lives and for this message today. And the first one is we need to remember, and we've talked about it a lot this last year, that God is in fact in control, and that God is always with us, and God is always at work. One of the scriptures that was on my mind a lot this year, we talked about it, was Isaiah 43, where we hear that God says, I will be with you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And then he goes and he makes this promise. If you walk into the waters, you wade into the waters, I will be there with you. If you walk into the fire, I will be there with you. You will not be burned, for I am with you. And one of the images that I hope that you have in your mind from this past year is a really cool biblical image that you read about in Daniel chapter 3. And it comes at a time when Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked king, is just fed up with these three faithful Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they won't bow down and worship his idol. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to throw you into a fiery furnace. And that was an instrument of suffering and murder that Nebuchadnezzar used to throw people into the fire. And so he heated it up as hot as it would go. And he throws these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the fire. And then they look into the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar says, something seems wrong here. He says, didn't we throw three men in the fire? How come I see four there? Well, most people will tell you that was a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ with his people in the fire. And that's one of the truths that we should carry away from this year. I was thinking of Psalm 56:8, where King David, who we studied this past year, was facing, he was on the run at this time. And he talks about the faithfulness of God. And then he says this in Psalm 56:8. He says, you keep track of all my sorrows, God. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. And David understands that God was with him through it all, even collecting his tears, reminding him that not only God is with him, but God is faithful and just, and he would deal with all things one day in his time. So that's the first thing, just kind of foundational before we really turn to a heart of worship, is that God is in control and God is with us. And then the second thing I want to just encourage you with is God never wastes a hurt. Let me just read a great scripture to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And Paul, who knew a lot about what it meant to suffer, said this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." And then he says this, this Jesus Christ, "who comforts all of us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God." So in other words, Paul says that the reason that he's received that comfort from God in part was so that he could be a blessing to others. And I just think after all that we have been through in this last year, one of the things that God has for us in 2021 is to take the comfort of God and to share that with others. And so maybe 2020 has been a year of loss for you. And maybe it's not even COVID related or any of these things. Maybe this is the year that you lost a loved one, or you lost a job, or you lost a dream. I think of a lot of people that are just kind of discouraged and defeated. Maybe students who are overwhelmed and just it's really tempting to just kind of check out and just be disillusioned with everything. I pray that we would be a church that not only receives that comfort from God, but that we would be able to, in turn, pass that on to others so that God wouldn't waste those things in our life. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you've called us together today. And every person that's watching here today, Lord, I pray that you would be close to them. I pray that they would know your comfort and your spirit and that you would guide us into all truth. We thank you, Lord, for the good and the bad of these last 12 months. And we thank you for all that you have in store with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, I'm really excited today because our message is going to come to us from some of our children's and youth pastors. And so we have Pastor Roman Butler, who leads our middle school ministry, Tim Nielsen, Pastor Tim, who leads a lot of our family and children's ministry, and then our newest First Baptist pastor, Stephen Rossi. And so Stephen is leading our high school ministry, doing a great job with that. And so we're going to hear from them a little bit of 2020 hindsight.
Well, welcome. How's it going, everyone? As Pastor Glenn said, here we are at the end of 2020 and getting ready for an awesome 2021. And as we look back at 2020, I think just me personally talking to a lot of friends and family, I think it was pretty similar responses leading up to 2020. Everyone had pretty much high hopes for 2020. Everyone had big hopes, goals, dreams for 2020. 2020 seemed like the year where we were just going to conquer a lot of different goals, right? It sounded good. It looked good. It was catchy, 2020. People had business goals, had family goals, relationship goals. There was a lot of people that I know, even in my family, you know, people were planning on getting married during 2020 because it looked good, right? It was a catchy little date. And people had spiritual goals. People had big hopes for 2020. And I think looking back on 2020, I think that the easy thing that we could all do is just say, man, forget 2020. Yeah. You know, forget it. Let's scrap it. Let's crumple it up and start new with 2021. And I think that's the easy thing to do. But I think, honestly, we'd be wasting a lot of missed opportunities and a lot of growth from 2020 if we were just to scrap it all together. So I think something that we can all do together, and I want to challenge you, if maybe you were in that boat of man, I just want to forget it and get through 2020 and head off into a fresh start for 2021. I want to challenge you, maybe take some time to reflect on 2020. So for me, I'm big on goals. I like putting things in front of me and things that I can reach for, right? Things that I can strive for, whether that's at work or in my spiritual life, my family life, my fitness goals, my health, whatever it is. I like having goals to reach for. In 2020, I was one of those people. I was one of those people who had big hopes for 2020. And as Pastor Glenn mentioned, there were a lot of things that came at us pretty early on in the year. And for me personally, it was kind of frustrating because I felt like I wasn't seeing the progress or progressing in the way that I wanted to, right? I had plans to be at this or have these certain results at a certain time in the year, and I just wasn't, I wasn't seeing those results when I wanted them. And it was kind of frustrating for me. And honestly, I think there was a lot of people in the same boat. But one of the verses, and I just want to share some of the things that God was placing on my heart during the year of 2020. And a verse that kept coming to mind during 2020 was Psalm 23. It's a super popular psalm. I'm sure everyone knows it, or most people know of this psalm. But I just want to kind of share how God was placing that on my heart. You know, as trials would come my way, and hardships and different things would come at me and my family, Psalm 23 would play in the background, right? It was the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? And kind of the picture that I had in my head was, I'm just going to keep going, right? I'm the sheep. I'm a sheep, and I'm just going to keep going, and God's going to guide me. He's going to be the shepherd. He's going to guide me. My job is just to keep going, right? And that's kind of how I was taking that verse. And then I kept reading into verse 2, where it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters," right? But the beginning of verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures," right? And I looked into that word "make," right? And a lot of us, we see that word, and I don't know, I think it's just Americans in general. We don't like to be forced to do anything. We don't like someone making us do something. And for me, when I hear "make," that it's almost like it almost frustrates me, because, you know, I want to be doing this, but if I'm being made to do something else, it can be frustrating at times. But when I hear "He makes me lie down in green pastures," to me, that's God putting things in my path and opportunities for me to rest and to take some time to just be at peace and to calm down and to focus on Him. And I think there were a lot of opportunities during 2020, whether it was forced or not. I think there were a ton of opportunities for us to lay down and just to rest. And in the beginning, my attitude towards those opportunities, whether it was during a lockdown or a stay-at-home order or whatever it was, my attitude was honestly, it was I was frustrated, right, in the beginning, because I didn't want to be laying down, right? I think back to when I was a kid, my mom would, there were six of us all together, my mom would make us have a nap time, right? And as a kid, I didn't want to take a nap time, right? I don't know if it was for my mom's sanity or for all of us as kids, but I wanted to be playing. I didn't want to rest, you know. And looking back on it now, I kind of enjoy nap times every now and then, but it was my attitude during those nap times, those down times, I was frustrated, right? And I think I can relate to, you know, back when I was a kid, I can relate that to 2020. And my attitude during those down times was all off. It was wrong, right? I was frustrated. I was wanting to be doing something else when I should have been resting and should have been seeking out and growing closer to God. So that was kind of a thing that I had to switch, was my attitude during those down times. So when trials and when hardships come our way, what's our attitude? What's our attitude in the downtime when maybe we have opportunities to rest? What's our attitude during those rest periods? A common thought or action whenever we are facing those trials, I don't know if this is just for me, but my natural instinct is just to say, hey, I want to just get through this. I want to get through this struggle, get through 2020, and be done with it. Get on to the other side. And we're going to get through it. We're going to go through whatever we're going through, and we're going to come out on the other side. But I think we can get so tied up in getting through something that we miss what we become through that moment in time, right? Are we so focused, do we just have our head down and we're just trying to get through something, or are we paying attention to what we're going through so that we can use that on the other side, right? So as we come to an end of 2020, what's going to be different going into 2021 if we don't pick our head up and say, okay, I'm going to use what I went through in 2020 to to propel me into 2021, because the very things that we went through in 2020 could be the exact thing that we needed to help someone in 2021, right? So I could have gone through a struggle, and by me taking that struggle, and if I were to just scrap that, I wouldn't be able to learn from that, and I would miss out on an opportunity to help someone else in 2021. So I encourage you, maybe take a look and reflect on some of those things, good or bad, and ask yourself, how can I use this to bless someone else in 2021? So kind of wrapping up, one of the things that me and my wife like to do at the end of the year is we like to go through it and make a list of things that we're grateful for. The list is very long, but I just want to share some of those things with you guys, because I think it can be encouraging, because when I hear other people speak out the things that they're grateful for, it kind of brings a spirit of gratitude to the table. So I wanted to share a few things that me and my wife put together, just real quick. I won't share all of them, but first was our spiritual walk. We're grateful for our relationship with God. We're grateful for a church family, a job, direction in life, a change of pace, peace. We're grateful for time and our health, for the outdoors. We're grateful for God providing financially. We're grateful for our family, our friends, and for good association. And the list goes on. But as we do close out the year, I hope and I pray that you guys will get together. Maybe it's a couple or a family or just yourself, that you would take time to jot down some things that you're grateful for, so that you can take those things into 2021. Maybe it's just one word. Maybe you come up with a word for 2021 that you can look back to and kind of refer to as you're going through things. Okay, so I hope that's encouraging to you guys.
Hey, I love that idea of not just throwing this last year away, but really learning the lessons and how good God is to actually make us lie down sometimes when we need it. So thank you for that, Roman. And I know Tim's got some thoughts too about lessons that we can learn from 2020.
Yeah, so I can totally relate to what you guys have said so far. I mean, boy, it's been a doozy of a year, right? It's been very different, very interesting and challenging. And I can't help but think that Satan has some sort of a part in this whole thing, where he really wants to use it for his advantage. And so, I mean, if you think about the fact of a disease spreading throughout the whole world and how rare that is, and so many people dying, and churches not being allowed to meet, and Christians not being allowed to gather together. I mean, I've never experienced that in my whole life before. But to think that Satan is at work, how much more is God at work? And God's got this. God, he's with us. He's working out his plan in history. And, you know, God is in the business of taking global problems and taking our struggles and even taking our sin and doing great things out of that and through those things, and using all that for his glory. You know what? Historically, when Christians have been persecuted and haven't been able to meet, or their religion is illegal or something like that, you know what? You know what happens is Christianity grows and the gospel spreads and more people come to know him as their Lord and Savior. Now, let's just go down a hypothetical road for a moment. This isn't going to be fun, but I think we kind of need to. Let's say churches in America aren't allowed to meet indefinitely. Man, what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do? Are you going to lead your family and help your family grow in the Lord and to serve other people? What your kids and your grandkids need is spiritual guidance, is being led closer to the Lord, because everything else follows from that. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he won't depart from it." Now, this is not a promise. It's a wise saying. Okay, so it's in general. You know, if we train up our children, that is, teach them God's word and teach them to trust and obey God, then in general, our kids won't stray from that later on in life. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to turn out perfect and that they're not going to make mistakes along the way. But man, to build that foundation and the root system of faith in Christ. But did you notice the key to this? It starts with you and me, to train them up in God's ways. How am I doing that with that? How did I do with that over this past year? You know, we got to evaluate that. And what changes are we going to make for this coming year? How'd you do? So what if the church wasn't able to help you out in the training process like you've been used to? You know, for children's ministry and youth ministry and all these Bible classes we've had for older, you know, for adults and everybody else, and, you know, or to the extent that we've wanted, you know, and hoped for the church to be available. What are you going to do at home to train up your child to grow closer to God and to build that foundation that they need? Because your home is really the foundation anyways, no matter to what extent a church can be a part of helping to train your child in Christ anyways. So how is your family growing spiritually? How is your family worshiping God together at home? How is your family sharing the gospel with those on your street and in the community? How is your family serving other people together? Those are great questions to ask. How did we do this last year? What changes are we going to make for 2021? Deuteronomy 6 talks about you and me as parents and guardians and grandparents teaching our kids God's ways at all sorts of random times. So this passage comes right after the Ten Commandments are reinstated, which of course Jesus later summarized as love God with everything you've got and love other people as yourself. So this is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your heads and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So, man, when we're in the car driving, what a great opportunity to talk to our kids, to talk to our grandkids about life, about trusting and obeying God. When we're on a walk, before bedtime, during a conversation during dinner, during a special family outing or event or a special date with your kid, what great opportunities we have to teach them God's truth and to find out what kind of lies they might be believing that the world is feeding them, whether it's through, I don't know, TV shows, movies, YouTube, social media, music they listen to, what their friends have to say. Man, all of us, especially kids, are being fed lies and believing lies, and we have to ground them in God's truth and give them a foundation more and more, and that's our job in the home, you know, more and more. So, you know, I definitely haven't been doing perfect as this as a parent over this past year. I think, man, what opportunities have I missed? How could I have done better? But, you know, we all have to evaluate that and figure out what are we going to do. We could be sorrowful about the past year, or we can make hopeful plans for this next year in terms of our spiritual growth. And we can step up in that. So the good news is that there are some great resources out there to help make things easier for you at home. Whether you're a parent or you're a teenager or a young adult, single, or you're a grandparent, whatever, there's some resources that we have as part of the at-home ministry. And that includes Faith Path, which is some really cool stuff. So if you go to the church website, so fbclodi.org, and then scroll to the very bottom, you're going to find a couple tabs in this cool kind of black and white color, and one of them says at home. And if you click on that, you're just going to be led to a bunch of awesome resources that are pretty cool. One of them is simply, you know, what is at home? And here, you want this?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, sweet. And then another one is simply intentional parenting, you know? You want this?
Thank you.
Okay,
sweet.
And then another one is, I know Christmas is past, but there's some really cool stuff in here that you could have done for Christmas. No, that you probably did. You probably did some. You want that one?
That's a good one.
So, but there's just some great stuff. And And honestly, being an intentional person, intentional about your own spiritual growth, there's something for you as, you know, in terms of the material that At Home can provide for you. So check it out, explore, look at the different tabs, open up the different PDFs, and see how that can help you out. But of course, number one of all, spend time in God's Word and in prayer and seeking God and just asking God, what lies am I believing and what truth do I need to listen to you about God? So we have the privilege and the challenge and the blessing to teach our loved ones God's ways and to encourage each other to trust and obey God. So hindsight 2020, how'd you do? And what changes do you need to make for 2021?
Well, what a great challenge that is. And, you know, we all want church to get back to normal. And we believe that that's coming. But whether it does or not, we're still responsible to grow in our own relationship with Christ. We're still responsible to guide and to lead our family. So thanks, Tim, for the challenge of that. And 2020 offered us a lot of opportunities for that. And we hope for even more in 2021. I know Stephen also has some things that he wants to share to us as far as lessons from 2020 that we could carry into the new year.
Yeah. For me, there's a bit of confession and just realness that I feel like I need to offer, not just to you guys, but, you know, just in general to God. I am naturally the optimist in my family. I am naturally, just in general, my wife calls me Mr. Optimistic, and that's not necessarily a positive thing, because she's a realist, and she's like, why are you just so optimistic all the time? Like, I feel like I'm a utility player, so when something like this happens, I'm like, yeah, I can make it through this. Like, 2020, great. Binge watch Netflix, figure it all out. Like, I got it. And I think what I needed to confess and what I started to realize as this truly, as my optimism turned into, like, I wasn't true every time I was optimistic. Oh, yeah, we'll be back in church. Oh, yeah, things will open back up. I realized that my optimism wasn't rooted in where it should have been rooted. My hope wasn't rooted in where it should have been rooted. And even in church, I was hoping and thinking that all of the things I was hopeful for was that, we will just get back in a little bit. Everything will start back over. Everything's good. And ultimately, I think it was rooted in a sense that God has this and is sovereign. I think that is good. And I think I understood that at the base. But I think if I'm really honest, and this is the part that I'm wanting to confess, and hopefully there's a little bit of this that you guys can relate to, is my optimism was really rooted in the fact that I think I could handle it on my own. And there's this quote, and I'm not sure exactly, it's accredited to a couple different presidents, actually. And it says, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. And it's this really cool quote about perseverance. And it's, you know, it's a cool illustration of, like, yeah, like, I'm going to hold on. Like, I can do this a little bit longer. I'm going to tie a knot and make sure I don't slide off. I'm going to get some rope burns on the way, but I'm going to hold on. And I think without realizing, you know, that quote or that illustration, that's kind of my optimism. It's kind of, I can make it through just a little bit longer. I'll do this. And then 2020, as we've heard, has hit and it's hit longer than we thought. And my optimism kind of faded at different times, then came back at different times. But really my optimism was rooted in my own strength to hold on to the rope. And in contrast, there's this quote by Dallas Willard, who's a philosopher, Christian philosopher and an author, who says that when you get to the end of your rope, that's where you find God's address. And there's this real worldview difference when you compare those two quotes. And I think there's a real tension in my heart, and I think in our hearts, as we really compare the practicality of those two things, of hold on as tight as you can and make it through. Or when you get to the end of the rope, that's where you find true peace, because it's not up to your strength to hold on. It's up to your ability to open your hands and let God help you the rest of the way. And that's where I find myself at the end of 2020, honestly, and trying to confess and change my heart posture to not be optimistic and hopeful because I know that I can muscle my way through the rest of the year. But honestly being optimistic and hopeful because I know that there's authentically a God who is at the end of my rope, who is holding me at every step of the way, as Glenn talked about, who is in the fire with us. And that's what, when I really think about it, that's where my hope is. That's where my hope lies. Even though it's not easy to always be there, even though it's not always easy to remember that is where my hope is. And so I want to read two verses that speak to that, that speak to both the nearness of God and the true hope that we fully have. And the first one is this in Isaiah 59. Just the first verse in Isaiah 59, it says this, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear." And that's in the context, again, actually of confession and redemption that Isaiah is speaking. But he's making a very clear comment that the Lord is not too far. He is near in the midst of it. When you are at the end of your rope, that is where you find God. And the second one and the last one that I want to read, which honestly I think gives me some of the most hope, regardless of if it's on this earth or after, our worldview gives us a perspective of an eternity with God and a perspective of beyond the temporary. And Revelation 22, I think, nails us on the head right here where it says this in verse 4. "And they shall live with his face in view, and that they belong to him who will, but they belong to him will show on their faces. Darkness will no longer be. They will have no need of lamps or sunlight, because God the Lord will be radiant in their midst, and they will reign through the ages of ages." And there's this picture of the presence of God so tangible, so real, that there's no need for alternative light. There's no need for alternative power, because the power that you have is fully encompassed in the presence of God. And so my encouragement and my hope is that we would all fight the tension and fight the temptation to hold on to the rope ourselves, and that we would root our hope and root our assurance and root even our optimism in the fact that we have a God who is near, both physically and hears us, but also that we have a hope beyond whatever trials we're going through, that we will be ultimately in the presence of God who will hold us together and fully. So that's my encouragement for us, and not necessarily a perfect learn for me, but a tension that I'm trying to learn through as we finish up this year.
Well, what a perfect message that is. As for these next few minutes, we gather together around communion. We have the physical elements of the bread and the cup, which reminds us of the spiritual truths of what Christ has done for us and what Christ calls us to. And this is pretty cool, because all over the city and really in some places all over the world, the family of God is going to gather together at the end of this past year and looking forward to this year ahead. And when Jesus first gave communion, first gave the Lord's Supper to his disciples, it was on the night before he was to be betrayed and crucified. And it was a time of the disciples were coming through real struggle and difficulty. Their Lord was about to be, you know, turned over and killed. And it was a, you know, that was a devastating time for them. But it was also really, whether they knew it or not, it was at a season of new beginnings. Because when Christ was crucified, not only would their sins be forgiven, but he would send the Holy Spirit that would empower them, and that crisis that they were in would actually become the church. And that even in those persecuted times, Tim, that you talked about, the church would flourish and thrive and grow. And I feel like that's exactly where we are right now. And so here at the end of our rope, we find the presence and the goodness of Christ, who on the night that he was betrayed took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he says, "This is my body given for you." And so why don't we take the bread and take that. And Jesus said, "When you eat this bread, do it in remembrance of me." And then in the same way, Jesus took the cup. And after thanking God for it, he said, "This is my blood of a new covenant, a new way to have a relationship with God through my blood poured out for you. And whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." And so as we take this cup, not only do we find the forgiveness for our sins, but we also find a reminder that Christ is present with us, in us, living through us. And that this is a time of new beginnings. And so let's take and drink this together in remembrance of it.